Hello and welcome to another episode of Full Court Finance here at Zacks. I'm your host, Ben Raines. And today we're taking a look at Apple and Microsoft to see if either of those big tech giants are worth buying before their upcoming earnings releases. But before we get into everything, I want to say remember to subscribe and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. And make sure to check out our new Zacks.com/promo page for a look at some of our services, portfolios, and more. So before we jump into Apple and Microsoft, I want to quickly do a brief market recap. Aside from what's going on with GameStop and all these other big parabolic moves on these short squeezes, we have the technology-heavy NASDAQ jumping to new records Monday morning, only to slip back into the red later in the morning. So all three major U.S. indexes were down through late morning trading on Monday. This is, you could say whatever it is at this point. Most people are saying it's based on virus worries, but the market's just going to go up and down on certain days. So despite the pullback, all three rest within striking distance of their all-time highs. The S&P 500 is currently up around 3% since the start of January, nearly 18% since the end of October, so right before that election. And the broader market continues to be pretty positive on the sense that Wall Street's hoping that there's going to be more government spending on coronavirus relief under the new Biden administration. So alongside that further stimulus hope, some of the big banks and other companies have already reported their Q4 results have come in pretty strong. And then this week is going to be a big week for companies rolling out their financial results. So we have about 20% of the S&P 500 index and about a third of the Dow components are scheduled to release their earnings results this week. This includes everyone from Starbucks and Verizon and Tesla and Facebook and Caterpillar and McDonald's and all the big names. And then obviously Apple and Microsoft as well. So before we jump into Apple and Microsoft, I quickly just wanted to look at what our Zacks estimates are calling for the broader S&P 500 earnings results for Q4 and then the full year just to give a better sense of what's going on. So at the moment, we're calling for overall S&P 500 earnings to slip about 5.3% on about 0.6% higher revenues in the fourth quarter. This would mark huge improvement from where we have been the last three quarters. Last quarter, we saw about a 7% earnings decline. In Q2, we saw a 32% earnings decline. And then in the first quarter, we saw about a 13% earnings decline. So this Q4 picture has continued to improve, and we're calling for -5.3, so a 5.3% decline. And then we're calling for a big bounce back in Q1, nearly 14% growth. And then that huge growth is expected in Q2 against that easy to compare period from the last year. We're calling for 44% growth on the bottom line in the second quarter. And then if we quickly look on the annual earnings side, we're calling for about a 16.3% decline in 2020 on 3.5% lower revenues. And then if we look ahead to 2021, we're calling for about a 24% jump back on about 7.7% higher revenue. So obviously that story is Q4 is continuing to look better and better, and 2021 is looking like it's going to be a big comeback for S&P 500 earnings, which obviously helps create even more of a bullish sentiment heading into the rest of this new year. So now we're going to move on to the two big tech giants we're talking about today. And we're going to start with Microsoft because it reports before Apple does. So Microsoft stock, which if for those of you who don't know, it's trading under the ticker MSFT. The stock is up just over 7% in the past 6 months compared to the computer and technology sectors. Roughly 25% climb. It's also fallen way behind Apple, which is up over 40% at this point. So this means the historic tech firm might be due to break out of its current lull with its upcoming second quarter fiscal 2021 financial results that are due out on Tuesday, January 26th. So Tuesday after the bell. So these results could be a big potential catalyst, as we mentioned, with Microsoft not doing so well, especially compared to the broader tech sector and some of its big tech peers over the last 6 months. So despite that underperformance, the company is bigger and arguably more important and impactful than ever. So even in a crowded and fluid technology industry, Microsoft has never been more influential and diversified, and clearly it's roughly $140 billion in cash and equivalents will help it make strategic acquisitions and bets going forward. This includes its recently announced investment in General Motors, self-driving car company Cruise, among countless others over the just the last several years alone. Microsoft is also a cloud computing powerhouse alongside Amazon, and the company's ability to expand its reach in this industry that's now really the backbone of our endless amounts of data and software that businesses and consumers alike really depend upon 24/7 will help it grow for years and years to come. Its intelligent cloud space was its biggest top-line contributor last quarter out of its three core divisions, and its cloud efforts now really play a role across the entire company. This includes in its Microsoft Office offerings, which remain integral to millions and millions of people around the world. Microsoft has also advanced its Xbox-heavy gaming unit and its consumer devices spaces, which is highlighted by its Surface devices, as others and others also continue to grow. And then the pandemic has really highlighted its portfolio of remote work offerings that compete against Zoom and others. So that includes its Microsoft Teams software, which will continue to prove valuable in a world where Salesforce paid $28 billion, or about 26 times forward 12-month sales, to buy work-based communication firm Slack, which was the second largest deal in software history. So that shows how important these non-email-based work communication platforms are going to be going forward in our remote work world, which is guaranteed to carry over in a bigger sense, even when people return back to the office. Now we're going to move on. So Microsoft has been up on a pretty impressive run over the last 3 years. It's up about 150%, including its lull recently, which matches Amazon and crushes Alphabet Inc. More recently, the stock is up about 37% in the past year. This matches that broader tech space. But as we mentioned, it's done far less well recently. So the stock's fallen behind over the last 6 months. It's trading at about $225 a share as of Monday morning, which places it around 3% off its early September 2020 highs. And this is at a time when many of its big tech peers and the NASDAQ itself are reaching new highs. So clearly at some point it seems like a solid bet that Microsoft's going to break out of this lull. The stock's hovered around its 50-day moving average for the past 6 months. And as we mentioned, this is as Tesla and all these other companies continue to soar to new all-time highs. So along with what its stock price has done, Microsoft's dividend yield is sitting at about 1%, to fall just below the 10-year U.S. Treasury at the moment, but that also tops Apple, which is at about 0.6% at the moment. Zach's estimates are now calling for Microsoft's adjusted Q2 earnings, so this quarter that's about to report, to climb about 9% to $1.64 per share on about 9% higher sales that would see it climb to over $40 billion for the quarter. The company's consensus earning estimates have remained unchanged over the last 60 days, but Microsoft has consistently topped our earnings estimates for years and years. This includes a 12% average over the trailing four periods and a 19% beat last quarter. If we look further down the road, just to give people a sense of the company's expected growth this year and next, Microsoft's revenue is projected to climb by 10% in fiscal 2021 and in 2022. These projections would come on top of three straight years of between 13 to 15% revenue expansion. So for a company of its size and age, it's pretty impressive to think that it's projected to do 10% growth this year again, 10% growth on top of that in 2022, after it's already done between 13 and 15% over the last 3 years. Meanwhile, its adjusted earnings are expected to climb about 17% this year and then another 10% in 2022. Both of these would mark strong and consistent top-line growth, as we mentioned, for a company that's about to pull in $160 billion this year. As we mentioned, though, its stagnant earnings revisions help it earn a Zacks Rank number 3 hold at the moment. The stock is also trading at a nearly 10% discount compared to its own year-long highs in terms of forward sales. As we mentioned, this is as the broader tech sector is trading at all-time highs. So you get some value there on Microsoft as well. Microsoft also hasn't missed our bottom line estimates in almost 5 years. That said, it doesn't always necessarily, given that and given its age and size, it hasn't always made big moves right around earnings, so it might not be the best near-term play for those looking to cash in quickly on a fast post-earnings move. That said, buying one of the world's most valuable companies that has lagged the market for 6 months at a small discount really hardly seems like a bad play for longer-term investors. So we should also note that 20 out of our 22 brokerage recommendations that Zacks has for Microsoft come in at a strong buy, with the other two at a buy. So that shows the sentiment on Wall Street is pretty bullish long-term for Microsoft. So as I mentioned, if you're a longer-term investor with 6 months, year horizon or longer, it doesn't seem like the worst idea to scoop up some Microsoft, even if it faces maybe some more near-term struggles compared to the rest of the tech sector. It's doubtful it's going to happen for much, much longer. So now we're going to move on to Apple, which, unlike Microsoft, has really performed well recently. So Apple stock hit brand new highs last week. It reached new records last Friday, and then it jumped again to new highs again on Monday of over $145 per share. It has since fallen back a little bit as the broader market pulled back in later morning trading on Monday. And the company is set to release its first quarter 2021 results on Wednesday after the bell. So Wednesday, January 27th after the bell. The stock is now up about 30% since the end of October, and analysts are pretty high on its new iPhone. So that's why we're seeing this big run up into earnings for Apple stock. So like with Microsoft, there's a reason that Apple is one of the world's most valuable companies as it continues to dominate what it does best. So Apple, it needs no introduction, just like Microsoft, and it's expanded beyond iPhones into services and more. But despite all of that successful diversification, its flagship smartphones are still a very, very vital piece to the puzzle over at Apple, and it accounted for about 50% of total revenue in fiscal 2020. And luckily, Wall Street is really high on its first 5G capable iPhone that launched in October. We have Morgan Stanley analysts calling the iPhone 12 Apple's most successful product launch in the last 5 years. And this is in a recent note to investors last week. We should note that the new iPhone model that it launched last year is available in four models, various price points, pretty standard. The Apple's higher priced or higher end models were priced roughly the same as last year's iPhone 11, despite having those 5G capabilities, which was a good way to get people into the phone since 5G is still very in the very early days. So AT&T and Verizon and all these companies still have miles and miles to go before that next generation wireless network reaches anything near what the current one does. So it was a good way to attract people to these new iPhones. And people are just going to continue to buy new iPhones as Apple is a marketing genius, and it convinces people, including myself, to buy the new iPhone despite what many analysts continue to say are somewhat standard updates every year. So the next generation wireless network is going to play a big role, and Apple is ready to be a part of that with its first 5G phone that, as we mentioned, has done very well so far. The company has also benefited from stronger Mac and iPad sales over the last year. That work in school environment that's pushed people to be working from home and learning from home has pushed those sales up. And its wearables unit, which includes that smartwatch, so the Apple Watch, and its AirPod headphones, has also continued to grow. It was up 25% last year, which actually outpaced its services unit, which was up 16%. So that wearables unit was up big last year. And with the services business in mind, Apple is now bringing revenue from not only its massive app store, which continues to be a huge revenue and profit driver, but also it has subscription services such as Apple Music, which competes against Spotify, its streaming TV service, which has not done as well. There's just less content there yet, but one day it hopes it can at least be considered in that peer group of Netflix and Amazon Prime and all of these other various services like HBO Max. The company also has a news offering, video gaming, and more. Apple said last quarter that it grew its subscription base by 35 million sequentially to over 585 million paid subscriptions across its various services that we just mentioned, and it expects to reach a total of over 600 million before the end of calendar year 2020. So look for that if you're going to listen to the analyst call or read any of it to see what they talk about in terms of that overall subscription figure. We should also note that along with all of these other expansion plans, Apple is pushing harder and harder to bring more of its chips in, in-house. It's trying to continue to close the loop of its business to have everything be Apple. There are even reports now that Apple is trying to enter the electric vehicle space. Those have been out there for a while, but we'll see what comes of that. And now we're going to move on to some more fundamentals. Like with Microsoft, Apple's ambitious plans are going to be able to be funded because it closed last quarter with $80 billion in net cash. That said, the company is slowly and methodically trying to, what it says, is reach a net cash neutral position over time. So they're going to continue to spend on dividends and buybacks. So last quarter, they returned about $22 billion to shareholders via dividends and buybacks. Its yield, as we mentioned earlier, with Microsoft, it's resting at about 0.60%, so 0.60% right now, which is less than Microsoft's 1%, but still solid considering that the stock just continues to climb and climb and climb. Apple also remains, as we also alluded to in terms of its marketing prowess, the world's most valuable brand. That's ahead of Disney, Microsoft, all the other tech companies, as well as Nike and everyone's. That's that Forbes list. So that brand valuation is nothing to just sort of blow past. It matters in the long run. It's the reason why people pay the money they do for their products when there are comparable offerings out there that are much less expensive. That said, the stock has also outpaced Microsoft and Amazon over the last 5 years. It's up about 460%. More recently, it's climbed about 75% in the last year and over 20% in the last 3 months. It's also trading about 7 times forward 12-month sales, which marks only a slight premium to its industry. It actually represents a solid discount to Microsoft, which is trading at about 10 times forward sales. And this has been the case for the last several years. We should also note that its late summer 4-for-1 stock split certainly made its stock price more attainable and attractive to many investors. And we now see that it's trading at about $145 per share. And over the last month, it's really come back to life. So in closing, we're going to quickly look ahead. We should note before we look at these numbers, the pandemic did force, and this is much now going back, but it forced the iPhone 12 to be released a little later than it would have normally been released. So it was released in October and not late September as those normal devices come out. So this is set to boost its Q1 fiscal 2020 sales, which is what it's about to report. So it goes up against a little bit easier to compare period in the year ago period. So Zacks estimates are calling for Apple's adjusted first quarter earnings to climb over 11% to $1.39 per share on 12% stronger revenue that would see it pull in over $100 billion in a single quarter for the first time ever. Our estimates calling for $102 billion as the figure, $102.6 billion. And then Apple's full year fiscal 2021 revenue is projected to jump 17%, with its adjusted earnings expected to come in 23% higher. We should also note that its positive longer term earnings revisions help it grab a Zacks rank number 2 buy right now. As you mentioned, there's always a risk playing a stock right around earnings if you're trying to get a near-term gain, especially for a stock that's been run up into the lead-up to its earnings. It's trading at new highs. So if you're trying to get in and out of it for a week, it's always more risky. But clearly there's momentum back in Apple stock. And if you're a longer term investor, this is nothing earth shattering to say. It seems like a solid bet when we consider all of the various aspects of our lives that Apple is touching and will continue to try to expand into, given that cash position and just its marketing prowess and that Apple brand. So that does it for today's episode of Full Court Finance. Until next time, I'm your host, Ben Raines. And remember, if you have any questions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com.
This material is being provided for informational purposes only, and nothing herein constitutes investment, legal, accounting, or tax advice, or a recommendation to buy, sell, or hold a security. Do not act or rely upon the information and advice given in this podcast without seeking the services of competent and professional legal, tax, or accounting counsel. Publication and distribution of this podcast is not intended to create, and the information contained herein does not constitute, an attorney-client relationship. No recommendation or advice is being given as to whether any investment or strategy is suitable for a particular investor. It should not be assumed that any investments in securities, companies, sectors, or markets identified and described were or will be profitable. All information is current as of the date herein and is subject to change without notice. Any views or opinions expressed may not reflect those of Zacks Investment Research as a whole.